Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf, using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
You're listening to A Real Piece of Work. I probably shouldn't say it that way. You're listening to A Real Piece of Work, a jobs podcast for aspiring professionals brought to you by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR, and Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Now here's your hosts, Matt and Joy.
Mark, absolutely excited to have this opportunity today to have a real special guest, but I'm also very excited today. The fact I've got a co-host, like a new co-host, guest co-host. I've not had a chance to do this before, but before you get the little chime in here a little bit, I just want to say that I'm really, really excited about this guest today because for over two decades, closer to three decades, I've had a relationship with this individual, and I've been blessed in the last five, 6 years to rekindle a relationship with somebody that really has a passion for education. And the fact that this podcast is existing because we want individuals, students to make smarter decisions about their educational paths so that hopefully they're just happier down the road and more prepared for down the road. So a little, I'll pause there, but Mark, what's going through your head today?
Well, thank you so much for having me as your guest co-host today. And for all of you that might not know me, my name is Mark Zyla. I'm a radio host. I host the show Allegro Molto on WVIK Classical Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I'm also a podcast host and producer here at WVIK Quad Cities NPR. And above all that, I am principal horn of the Quad City Symphony Orchestra. So I've always loved A Real Piece of Work as a show because it showcases folks with, you know, sometimes strange career paths. And I count myself in that particular column. So, you know, having the opportunity to jump on here today and, you know, talk about people's stories, that's my passion. And so I'm super excited about that. But I'm also excited to talk to Dr. Wee because I've heard so much about him at home. My wife works at Eastern Iowa Community Colleges, and she has a lot of respect for Dr. Wee. So she told me as I headed out the door this morning at 4:30 in the morning that I'd have a great day. So here we are. And thanks again, Matt. And welcome to A Real Piece of Work, Dr. Wee.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, Dr. Wee, yeah, and Mark, you hit the nail on the head. Just, I know we're in for an exceptional interview here today. Dr. Wee, could you kick this off initially? Again, you're the bi-titled interim chancellor at Eastern Iowa Community College. What does it mean to be a chancellor of a college?
The chancellor of the college really is to look at the various facets of this operation and really coordinate as much as possible the smooth operation day to day. It's a very complex operation. We cover multiple counties. So my role is definitely to take care of everybody in our organization and also to make sure that communication flow among our folks so that the, as you call, the left hand knowing what the right hand is doing. And at the same time, also making sure that we nurture the relationship with our external partners, whether it's K-12, the business, the nonprofit. So it's really a very exciting role. People think about the chancellor as maybe somebody in charge. No, it's actually somebody who is responsible for taking care of the people, you know, in my charge. So I serve everybody inside and outside the college. And every day is a great day doing that.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't follow up with, let's tell our listeners, what does the title interim mean? And what is that like for you stepping into such a large operation, you know, kind of taking over from somebody else and kind of ushering them into, you know, their next era, I suppose?
Yes. Well, interim is definitely temporary. You know, mm-hmm. if we were to look at it. So I had the opportunity to start my service at Eastern Iowa Community Colleges on October 1 last year. And my role will end June 2025. That's when the permanent chancellor will come on. So I came out of retirement, and this is a great opportunity to work with a bunch of really wonderful, passionate colleagues, and just to work with them to guide the college onto the next person coming in, and working with the board as well. So definitely it's a temporary role, but very exciting.
So Dr. Wee, in that regard though, does your role in your typical day change based upon the interim tag, or is it still you walk in every day and say, I'm operating a school district, a community college district, and this is what every day looks like?
That's a very good question, because there are different responsibilities and expectations of an interim role. The board can always say, well, you're here as a caretaker, keep everybody as is, don't make any changes. But our board is very supportive. Even though I'm in here temporarily, my responsibility is move the college forward. But that also means I have to do a lot of listening to a lot of people. So there's really no, how should I say, a typical day where I come in, keep everything in place, and that's it. No, in fact, it's very exciting. We get to do new things. So for example, this morning before joining you, I was at the Quad City Chamber talking about attracting talent to Quad City. And the state agency, Iowa Economic Development Authority, is in town. And so a group of stakeholders coming together and talk about how do we tell our story? How do we attract people to Quad City? But most importantly, how do we always also keep people who are here and letting them know the opportunities that we have? So that question is very, very, very appropriate, Matt. I am not, how should I say, passive. The role that I was given is, let's move the college forward. Let's do what we need to do. So most days, I don't even think about the word interim. I think about, all right, what's next?
Real quick on that, I think Matt and I are both people who have to wear many different hats, and I think a chancellor follows in that category as well. What kind of tips do you have for folks that are looking at career paths that are going to have to serve all these different constituencies? How do you stay present when you're meeting with so many different people and maybe about so many different topics within a day? And, you know, I've seen people do it, and the best folks act like it's the first meeting of the day, every meeting.
Well, that's a very good question. I can tell you that I did not land in this position overnight. Mm-hmm. So anybody who is looking at me, you're looking at somebody who has been with this type of position for a while. So I would answer that question by saying that when somebody is actually looking at me, they have to ask me, how did it happen? What is the beginning? Mm-hmm. And at the beginning is really people tapping me on the shoulder and asking me to maybe join in a project at a different part of an operation. So over the years, after multiple opportunity to do different things, I get to see the company or the organization from various perspectives. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm in my position right now, I see the pieces. It's basically a very big puzzle. I see the pieces moving. And most importantly, the humility to know that I don't know everything. And also the courage to actually ask people to teach me, to educate me. Mm. So that over time, I'm able to ask questions. And through the question, we zoom in on things that we need to expand, we need to terminate, or we need to grow, we need to start. So my role is exciting because I get to learn new things every day. Mm-hmm. And my experience allow me to also put the pieces together as best as we can. And then the knowledge to say, what do I not know? And what question we need to ask? So, yeah, I appreciate that question, but it definitely does not happen overnight.
No doubt.
So, Dr. Wee, as you know, target audience for this podcast are high school students, their educators, their parents, and, you know, tangential people. But what we always like to make sure we do is get one of those target audience students mm-hmm. to interject with a question. So we've got a student by the name of Leah Cosley from a senior at Western Dubuque High School that I think's got an appropriate question in terms of where we are in the podcast here.
Well, Matt, I just have to say, I think you just termed a new term for a real piece of work, which is the students, which is the student audience. So here we are, our first students question.
That higher education paying off.
Right. We're gonna have a real piece of work shirt with that branded on there. So here we go.
Hi, Dr. B. My name is Leah Cosley, and I'm a senior at Western Dubuque High School. My question for you is, when did you realize you wanted to pursue a career in higher education?
Well, Leah, that's a very good question. I think people would expect me to say, oh my goodness, that's the flash of lightning and all of a sudden the light bulb went off. Well, for me, it didn't happen that way. For me, it was actually a process. And one of the things I like to tell people is really my understanding of my journey took time. Mm. I really didn't know what I was getting into. After college, I was ready to go into the industry. My training was in computer system. So I was ready to be one of those folks working with computers. And then one day, the assistant department head of the program where I graduated from tapped me on the shoulder and say, "Why don't you learn more about, you know, our industry? At the same time, I need somebody to help me teach an undergraduate introductory computer class. Why don't you help me?" And I ended up staying with him for 6 years. I thought it was going to be 1 year and then I'll be gone, and it's 6 years. And what I didn't know at that time was I was an apprentice. I was watching a master at work. He did not pull me aside and say, "Hey, did you see what I just did? Make sure you write it down and so that you can do what I did." What he did was he demonstrated what teaching, caring teaching, was all about. Yes, we deliver content, but what he did was he cared about the students first. And I can tell you that both his classes, which I assisted, were in mass lecture hall. We're talking about several hundred students at a go. Mm-hmm. He would go early, and he would connect with every student wherever he can, walking up and down the rows. And those students loved him. And you would think that for a large lecture class, some people wouldn't show up. But guess what? They show up for him and they learn. And so how did I know that I would be going into a higher education? It was because he showed me what impact we all can have on young lives. And how do we do that? We connect with one person at a time. And so I've been doing this for over 35 years now. And I realized that every year I'm more committed to what I'm doing. So I can tell you that my journey is not ending. My understanding is not ending. In fact, the passion is growing every day. And it's all because of one man asking me, "Will you help me?" Mm. And so, Leah, I want you to know that your future, I hope, will be a long journey of you finding exciting revelation along the way that guides you. And that when people tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, will you try this?" I hope most of the time your answer is yes. It's risk-taking, but guess what? You never know what that yes will provide you. We know what a no will provide. No means end of conversation. Mm-hmm. And so because of that yes, over my lifetime, I've said a lot of yes, and I'm here because of one man tapping me on the shoulder one day.
Wow. Dr. Wee, I'm going to pivot just slightly here, and this is a question I probably wouldn't go down this path, but education there may be a perception for our audience members is like, it's not a manufacturer that's making a product and they're hopefully going to have a margin between what they sell it for and what they end up making on that product. Can you talk about the business of education? Like, you make money. What do you do with the money? Do you need money to run a college, and how do you, where does it come from? Can you talk a little bit about the business of the business?
Yes, education is nonprofit. Yeah, but it's not no profit. We still have bills to pay. All right. And so, yes, and for us, for example, Eastern Iowa Community Colleges, definitely we receive some state support, which we are very, very appreciative, because the state legislature, the governor, they invest in Iowans through us. Okay. So that's one stream. Another stream would be from our student tuition. They also have a skin in the game. They are investing in themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the other one would be, for example, our voters who pay property tax. We are very affordable. So Iowans are investing in Iowans. We are very appreciative. And the rest of them would be grants. We work with businesses. We provide training. So that's a revenue stream. So if you take a look at Eastern Iowa Community Colleges, we really have multiple way of bringing revenue into the college and sustaining ourselves. But most importantly, every dollar that we account for, we ask our question, will this change life? Will this build community? It is that simple and that difficult. So that means we have to be very, very good steward of our resources. No different than every family having a budget. You ask yourself, what does your limited number of dollar going to do for your family? For me, what is that limited number of dollar that I need to do for my colleagues, for our students, for our communities? And how do we, at the end of the day, not overspend our budget and still have some rainy day fund? So I know it's a very simplified way of doing it, but that's how we operate, very much like every family does. Is be good steward of our limited resources.
Go ahead, Mark.
Just
you got one?
Follow up on that.
Sure.
I'm kind of curious to hear you talk about outside of, you know, direct training. So like somebody coming in and receiving training to become a nurse. I'm sure that's very curricular, and there's a path for that. And I imagine that in the portfolio of offerings at Eastern Iowa Community Colleges, degree programs like that are very important. But I think on the other side, I see community colleges connecting the community. So classes being offered not as a, you know, in pursuit of a degree, but to, I don't know, learn about, I've heard about some vegan cooking classes or, you know, certain things like that that are available to everybody in the community. Talk to us a little bit about how EICC kind of embraces that side of their role within a community like the Quad Cities.
And earlier when I talk about, changing lives and building community. Exactly right, Mark. That's what building community is about. Is how do we bring people together? And how do we do that? We find out what commonalities they have. So when you mention cooking classes, absolutely. How do we bring a group of people together who have the passion for food and also willing to take risk in terms of demonstrating their skills, for example, and trying something new? So when we do that, we allow a community to form in that class. And when we do it enough, people keep returning. Mm-hmm. And that's how we build community. I am also want to key in on the word that you use, path, when you talk about, for example, nursing. Well, for us, most importantly is when we work with our students, whether they come for a degree or not, what is the pathway that they might not know that's ahead of them? Mm-hmm. How do we help them ascertain, find out, hey, this is what I'm good at? Because a cooking class could potentially go into, hey, maybe I need to be able to work at the restaurant. Maybe I want to work at a food pantry, a kitchen, or whatever. Maybe what I can do is help people understand about how to have a nutritious meal, right? So you never know what that might lead to pathway. And that's the exciting part of what we do is everybody who comes through our door, how do we meet them where they are? And many of them don't know about the pathway. And through that relationship building, through that conversation, we find out, my God, they actually have something that they didn't know about. And how do we get down that path with them? Some people have shorter path, some people have longer path. But meeting them where they are means we follow them, we walk with them at their own pace to where they want to go. And they all have a starting point with us.
Matt, you're right. This guy's got it all. He's great.
It's inspiring. So, Dr. Wee, I have to pose this question. And as a person that's been in business my entire life, I sit back and watch and observe educators that are tasked with so many responsibilities to get our future workforce ready. How do educators, whether it's K through 12 or post K through 12, prepare students for a workforce when who knows what the jobs are going to be? We don't know what jobs are going to be out there all the time. And then secondly, let's say somebody does know that they're passionate about accounting, but how can educators expose them to the knowledge of the ways you can apply that accounting in so many different ways? It's not just go to a CPA firm and audit people every spring. But maybe you're an accountant for a real estate company, an accountant for a manufacturer, an accountant for a fashion business. There are so many ways that you can apply it. How can educators possibly spark that interest enough so that people realize that it's just not about the numbers?
Well, there are several ways to really peel that onion, Matt. Thank you for posing that question. One of the exciting things we are doing is with our K-12 schools. In fact, we are actually working with them to expose the students on employability skills. Okay, everybody needs that. What does it mean to show out on time? What does it mean to be prepared? What does it mean to work as a team? What does it mean to be accountable? What does it mean to receive feedback, to provide feedback? What does it mean to set goals? So you find that for all the students who are thinking about their future. We work with our K-12 to start them young. It's planting the seed. Nobody finishes high school or college and basically say, I'm good to go. All right? It is a journey. So when we are able to plant the seed over time, it germinates. Some people get it the first time. Some people will take a little longer. How do we walk with each person? So that's first, employability skill. Everybody gets that. The second thing is if they go into a profession that we know, such as, Matt, you talk about accounting, well, what do they want to know? What perception do they have about accounting? We connect with one of our partners and say, would you like to do some shadowing? So they go in, they look around. But nowadays, we also have forensic accounting, right? Looking at where things are going electronically, looking how people use the system to do something that is not nice, and how can the forensic accounting find out evidence, right? That is something that if you look at years ago, we didn't have that. Now with technology, my God, it's no longer just a balance sheet, ledger, income statement. It's actually being a detective. So when students have the perspective of accounting as just working with numbers versus exposing them to, hey, there are more exciting part of accounting. Now all of a sudden, it gets them thinking, right? So that's one. The other question you said is we still have jobs we don't know. And that is also exciting. What we want our students to say is what are the skills that you need to have regardless of what the future brings. Those are your cornerstone, such as critical thinking, such as decision making, such as risk taking, such as resilience, teamwork. And the key thing is what you don't know, don't be afraid. For example, nowadays we're talking about artificial intelligence, right? What does that mean? How is that going to be impacting, for example, healthcare? How does it impact, for example, manufacturing? How does it impact communication, social media? These are exciting times, but also a scary time. So it is here. What we want our student is be brave enough to embrace what we don't know. Those we know, there are going to be changes. Those we don't know, guess what? Let's go in there together. And that's why working with our business partner is so important, because they are definitely out there. They are our ears and our eyes. How can we take what they know and update our curriculum so that our students understand what is coming? What are the opportunities? So I hope that kind of gives you a broad stroke on that question.
Absolutely, it does.
Well, Matt, I think it's time for our common question for every guest, is it not?
I agree. So, right. Dr. Wee, we always want to wrap up with reflection again. This is one of those that I look back at myself at 16 years old. We always want to pose this to our guest. You know, if you were to look at a young Dr. Wee at 16 years old, what would you tell yourself to keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to increase your chances of post-high school success and happiness?
Interesting. 16-year-old. I remember those days. I was in the village and still using the outhouse.
Wow.
You know, and not much running water. And yeah. I would say that definitely in terms of start doing is start watching more the people around me. My parents, who have since passed on, have been great influencer in my life. They are very good about showing me. And as I get older, many of the things that they did, what they say, how they act, will pop into my head. And I at the first, I wonder, why am I recollecting all these? And it's because in our young minds, we store those things. And life has a very interesting way of cueing us when the right time, when we are ready, let's put it that way, that says, hey, this is a lesson learned. So what I would, you know, start doing when, if I were to be 16 and tell myself is, open your eyes even more. Watch what your elders are doing. Watch the people around you, those who have experience. All right. Why are they doing? All right. And definitely what I would stop doing is stop focusing on things that at that time seems important. What do I wear? What people, you know, what people say about me? Because most of the time, at the end of the day, when you look back, they didn't matter that much. Very superficial. What I would keep doing, and this is something that I didn't know until I was older, my mom would say that I'm a daydreamer. I'm very comfortable sitting by myself and just think about things. I'm very comfortable with that. And in my role right now, be still, making time to be still and actually reflect on things, it is so important. That really helps me in making decision and acting. So that pause, I'm very glad that I kept doing that. I didn't know how important that is in my role, because sometimes when things happen, the tendency is, let's go act. In fact, when the situation, the more critical it is, the more we don't know, the more we have to slow down, pause, and actually clear the mind and think. and then act. And so my 16-year-old self as a daydreamer, I'm glad I've kept that. But definitely stop worrying about what people think about me when I was young, and definitely start paying attention to the people who matters, people with life experience, live experiences.
Well, Dr. Wee, you certainly have been a real piece of work today. We thank you for being a part of the podcast. And I can't wait to reconnect with you again down the road. I'm confident that our listeners are going to really enjoy this podcast. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. And Mark, I look forward to meeting you in person. And definitely, I can tell you, art, friend, you know, your principal horn, that is so important in every culture, every community.
Well, thank you.
And I can
so
tell
much.
You that in my culture is Chinese, and this is our New Year, Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. In fact, today is the seventh day of the Chinese New Year. And we believe this is a holy day because this is the day where humans are created by gods. Hmm. All the creatures were created on the first 6 days, humans on the seventh day. So we all share a common birthday. So to you, Matt, to you, Mark, happy birthday.
And happy birthday to you. Thank you so much. This has been great.
Thank you, Dr. Wee. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Well, Matt, I just want to share, based off of this conversation, this is my opportunity to like throw out some things as my one-off co-host.
Sure.
And hopefully you'll have me on as a guest sometime. But I really love like when people talk about education as both like technical training at sometimes, but like a collection of experiences and a collection of connections. And like for me, when I went to college, you know, like I was just a good French horn player who was like, you know, my dad plays in an orchestra. So like that's the career path. And like, I also felt like I was always like split in half because I also played bass in a metal band and loved touring and putting together tours and, you know, like figuring out how we're going to keep gas in the tank and actually mm-hmm. like literally sitting in a Starbucks in Nashville to book a show the next day because something got canceled and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And so I think what I wished had happened to me at that time was somebody saying like, yeah, your degree path is to become a classical French horn player. But you do so many other things to support music, and that will also could become a part of the collection of things that you do that you call a career. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I never imagined, like, podcasts weren't a thing when I went to college. But, like, I've always loved telling stories. I've always loved connecting people to one another, and I've always loved teaching. And so for me, like, I think the encouraging thing out of our conversation today is that like we aren't so black and white in terms of like you decide to do this today and tomorrow you have to be that. It's like it can be that, it can be shades of other things as well. And you know, for me, that's certainly borne out into like a really weird life that's very vibrant and quite enjoyable, I would say. I don't know, what are your thoughts about today's conversation?
Well, number one, embrace the weird. That's okay, nothing wrong with that. Right. And then number two, I think this interview with Dr. Wee was about as succinct as I can make it is his quote, which is, be brave enough, embrace what you don't know. And so, again, this podcast in many ways exists because of that. Seek out opportunities to, get better today so that you're making wiser decisions to make you happy down the road. And so embrace it. Say yes, because as Dr. Wee said, no ends the conversation. Yes, the world just opens up. So I'm really, really appreciative of Dr. Wee, the relationship with Dr. Wee, the friendship with Dr. Wee, and the wisdom that he put upon us today. So looking forward to the next one, Mark.
For sure. Well, thanks again for having me on as your co-host today. Like I said, I love telling stories. And, I think we need to all lean in a little bit more to stories like this in terms of, like, that there are decisions in life to be made, and we need a lot of great input to make those decisions as best as possible. And, you know, I love, take time to think before you act. And anyway, thanks so much, Matt, for having me as your host or a guest co-host
Appreciate
today. And I look forward to the next time.
Sounds good, bud. Take care.